بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we started talking about the relevance of the seerah to our lives today and how applying the seerah is the solution to the problems of the world. And yesterday, briefly I mentioned the justification for applying the seerah, because somebody might say, no matter how good the person was, referring to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no matter how good the person was, how can something which is 1400 years old be relevant to us today? That was the world of camels, this is the world of Ferraris, that was the world of physical communication by speaking to somebody or writing something. Today we are in the world of virtual communication, artificial intelligence, machine learning, all kinds of things. So how is that? Yes, it was good. Yes, he was a fine person, he was a good person. We have no quarrel with that. But if you say that how he lived his life and the kind of society that he created, that is relevant to us today, and that from that we can learn lessons, then how is this justifiable? How do you justify this? This is a question somebody can ask. And that's why I mentioned this briefly yesterday. So let me develop on that today. The issue, the things that I mentioned and which most people will mention, which is things like computers and artificial intelligence and whatnot, these are the peripherals. These are not the fundamental principles of society. This is what comes, you know. Fundamental principles of society are different. Fundamental principles of society are the principles on which society is structured. Based on that, you get other things that come into place. Now, take for example, what was happening in Makkah at that time. As I mentioned, Makkah was not ruled by a king. Makkah had no, the Quraysh had no king. There was no, you know, chief. Makkah was not ruled by a monarch. Makkah was ruled by a group of businessmen who used to meet in a place called An-Nadwa to take whatever decisions they had to take. Makkan society was stratified, it was classist, but it was not classist based on religion, it was classist based on wealth. So it was, to some extent, in a limited way, it was a mobile society. So you could rise up in that society. So rags to riches stories were there in Makkah. Third thing is that because it was a society which was ruled by businessmen, the single virtue, if you want to call it, or the single operating principle was profit. That is how the Kaaba, which started as the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was free from idols, which was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. This Kaaba got filled with idols for one reason only. Not for reasons of theology, not for reasons of religion, but for reasons of profit. People used to come, and then one day one of the leading businessmen of Quraysh, he went to Yemen, he saw people going to worship an idol, and he said, this is a good idea, because if this is there, then lot more people will come. And if lot more people will come, we get more business. So he brought one idol and put it inside. And then somebody else came and said, yeah, this idol is fine, but you know, I worship something else. No problem, bring that also. And it ended up with 360 plus idols in the Kaaba, not for religious reasons, but for business reasons. It was good for business. So the basic operating principle was, is it good for business? Will it make profit? Right? Now, as I am speaking, I want you to reflect on today's world. and see whether these fundamental principles of society, do you reflect them, do you find them reflecting in today's world or not? Right? So, basic, the world is run by a group, that Makkah was run by a group of business people, not by kings, not by generals, not by queens. And then, because of that, basic fundamental principle was, what is good for business? Not what is ethical, what is moral, what is compassionate. None of that matters. What is good for business? Right? So, therefore, basic principle is profit. Third thing is, in that society, and when you operate this principle, even though, as I told you, the society was, the social structure was relatively mobile or relatively, it was not close to people. So, you could rise up in it, provided you made enough money. It also promoted the concentration of wealth in the hands of a few. So, that is also what happened in Makkah. Wealth was concentrated in the hands of few people. Others had to struggle to get in there. Then, another outcome of such a society is ostentation, which is again very clear. I mean, there is no sense in me having wealth which is sitting in some vault somewhere. If I have it, if I want to enjoy it, what is the meaning of that? I have to show it, right? I need one room to sleep. In any case, no matter how big or my house might be, I will only sleep in one bed, in one room. But because I have wealth, I will build a house which has 100 rooms. I will build a house which is a palace. Maybe I will not even sleep all those bedrooms. Seriously, we have to ask this question. I mean, 100, why would you have that? Right? I know somebody who's, I know people who have houses. I mean, I'm not talking about kings. I'm talking about business people who have houses with 20 bedrooms, 30 bedrooms. For what? Do you get 30 guests at a time? Okay, even if you do get 30 guests at a time, how many times in a year? Now, it does not even make financial sense. I mean, I always tell people, anybody who buys something which they can rent is a complete financial ass. Total fool. Anybody who buys what they can rent, like holiday homes, for example. People go and buy this fancy holiday home. Very nice, right? So, you bought this holiday home. Now, you are stuck because how many times a year do you take a holiday? One time a year, right? Two times a year, three times a year, four times a year. How much more? Right? Four times a year? For that, you are maintaining a house for 365 days. For what? Just do the numbers. It is cheaper to go and spend that holiday in a five-star resort and come home, no strings attached. You know, you get waited upon hand and foot. And the beauty is, you can take that holiday in a new resort every single year. But now with your holiday home, you are stuck in one place. I mean, I tell you, people are insane. Similarly, if you want to, really have late on for your guests, it is far better and cheaper and good for the guests. You put them up in a five-star hotel. You got the money, right? So, put them up in Falaknuma Palace. I mean, they'll be much happier staying in Falaknuma than staying in your house. Believe me, no matter how much they love you, if they're telling you that they're happy in your house, they're lying. Simple as that. Do that. But instead of that, you will build a 50-room house. This is human nature. Please understand this. Why do women wear all kinds of, massive jewelry when they go to wedding parties? You are not the bride. You are not going there as your to demonstrate your husband's, assets or your own assets. You are going there to see the look on somebody else's face. As simple as that, believe me. Now, the whole point is, this is what it does society. So, therefore, Makkah also, if I have it, I flaunt it. Because there's no point in having it unless I can flaunt it. So, they did that. That was one principle of society. Another principle of society, when wealth is concentrated in the hands of a few people, is the law has to be different for me. So the ability to break the law is a sign of your social status. Yes, the law applies to everybody, but not to me. I am above the law. This is officially the case to this day. The Queen of England, for example, Queen Elizabeth II, she cannot be tried for any crime that she commits in British law. She cannot be tried in a UK court. So there was a joke doing the rounds when Donald Trump was supposed to visit her, to say that if the Queen bumps him off, then she'll be doing the world a favor and nobody can touch her because she's above the law, right? And the point is, so what's new? We like to say, oh, you know, we are unique, right? 21st century and 2018 and 2020. And tell me, what is unique? That's why Aristotle said this 2000 years ago. He said, nothing is unique. I'm saying it 2000 years later. Different rules, different strokes for different folks. Which means that compassion is bad for business. Right? Why do we have wars? Because wars make profit. Simple as that. It has nothing to do with suffering and, you know, women and children dying. No. Wars make profit. Period. Wars make money. I mean, the insanity that countries, highly developed countries, wealthy nations, manufacture weapons of mass destruction and sell them to people. Who buys those weapons? People who want to use them. Why do you buy weapons of mass destruction? You don't buy bombs to make necklaces out of them. You buy bombs to drop it on somebody's head. These countries sell them to those people. They know who they are selling them to, scoundrels of the world. And then they say, why is there no peace in the world? I mean, a completely insane world we live in. Why is there no peace? Give me a break. I mean, you know, what are you smoking? This was Makkah. Now, the reason I mention it in these terms is, I'm sure all of these terms are familiar to you and me. These are terms referring to us today as I speak and as you listen. This is not a 1400-year-old story. This is a here and now story. As we speak, real time story. And therefore, why is the seerah relevant? Because there was this man 1400 years ago who lived in exactly the same society that we lived in, but in a period of his own lifetime, in a period of one single generation, he changed that society. He changed the basic fundamental principles of that society. From greed and self-interest and profit to charity and compassion and social responsibility. From I am the king to I am accountable to the king. And who is the king? The real king. Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. The real king. Malikul Haqq, La ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem, to whom we are all answerable one day. The whole society was changed. The basic fundamental building blocks of society were changed. And this whole thing happened without bloodshed, without a revolution. Nobody died. Nobody was murdered. Nobody would disappeared. The same people. Except for those who got killed in Badr, for example. But other than that, the same people, the same Abu Sufyan, became Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. The same Hinda, who cut open the chest of Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, pulled out his heart and chewed it, became Hinda radiallahu anha. The same Wahshi who killed Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib became Wahshi radiallahu anhu. Same people. The same Khalid bin Walid and Amr ibn al-As, who were responsible for the death of 70 Sahaba, including Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, became Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Same people. Hey, Ajib. We're not talking about Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The man goes out to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became not just radiallahu anhu, he became one of the Khulafa'i Rashida from the Ashara Mubashara. Imagine. Same people. I mean, Abu Bakr, one can understand Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, they were good people to begin with. Islam or no Islam, they were good people. But the people I'm talking about were not like that. They were on the other end of the spectrum. But when Rasulullah ﷺ changed society, there was no purge. All these people were not vanished somewhere. They were not put into prison. They were not murdered. Nothing. The same people, something changed in their hearts. That's it. Something changed in their hearts. And it stayed there. It's not that this thing changed in their hearts and because of that, these people were good while Nabi ﷺ was alive and after that they went back to their old ways. No way. No way. Once they changed, they remained like that. And they died on it. And that's why we say radiallahu anhu. That is why the seerah is relevant. Inshallah, Mustan, bismillahi ta'ala, if Allah gives the tawfiq, we will develop this more. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should enable us to understand the seerah and to implement it in our lives, because this is the secret of success. Fi dunya wal akhirah. The secret where we will live a beautiful life in this dunya, and inshallah al-musta'an, Allah will give us an even better life when we meet Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.